If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to turn to the first chapter of the book of Luke. And my mind's really been waffling back and forth between two subjects. And even on our drive here this morning, I was struggling between two subjects, one being some of the circumstances in the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other subject being the doctrine of election that we hold so dear. As I was struggling with that and praying about that, me and Brother John Mark began to have a conversation. And I told him I was struggling between these two subjects. And he said, well, I think the Lord could bless you to perhaps weave both of those subjects together if the Lord's in the matter. And I hope and trust that will be the case this morning. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, that is the sixth month of Elizabeth being with child of John the Baptist, said, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Can you imagine being a young virgin girl and all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appearing unto you? This wasn't any angel. This angel's name was Gabriel. If you look earlier in the same chapter, we had been introduced to this angel Gabriel, and he had said he was one that stands in the presence of the Lord. Back in verse 19, said, and the angel answering unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. The name Gabriel literally means a warrior of God. And here was an angel that, for lack of a better way to explain it, was one of God's right-hand angels. He was one that stood there in the very presence of God, waiting to do the bidding of the Lord. And God sends this angel, only one of two angels that I know of named in the Holy Scriptures, and God sends this angel, Gabriel, unto the Virgin Mary. So this angel has appeared, and he begins to speak. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Here the angel pronounces some glorious tidings unto Mary. Tells her she's been favored, she's been honored, she's been blessed. Now let me be plain. Mary should not be worshipped. Mary should not be prayed to. But I'm going to tell you, Mary should be respected. And Mary should be honored. Out of all the women upon the face of the globe, God Almighty would choose this young virgin woman to be the mother of God's dear son. And the angel with the message of God tells her she's highly favored, that the Lord is with her and she is blessed among women. It says, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She's perplexed and she's wondering what's going on. She's filled with humility. Why would God show such favor and such blessing to one such as I? The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. He says, don't be afraid, Mary. The Lord, you have found favor with him. And you're blessed, you're highly favored. He said, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest." And the word "highest" is capitalized. The angel plainly tells her, he will be the Son of God. He shall be called the Son of the capital H, Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. We know from the Old Testament that that one that would inherit the throne of David, it would be an everlasting throne. It would be a throne that would never, ever, ever end. Every kingdom of this world eventually comes to an end. We saw the Babylonian Empire that existed for a while. It came to an end. We saw the Medo-Persian Empire that existed for a while, then came to an end. We saw the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. Existed for a while, very powerful. It came to an end. We saw the Roman Empire that existed in the time of the Lord Jesus. Greatest empire on the face of the globe at the time. Very powerful. But it came to an end. But here's a kingdom. He's going to inherit the throne of his father David. And according to Isaiah the prophet, this would be the one that would inherit this throne. This kingdom would be from everlasting to everlasting. This kingdom would never, ever, ever end. The angel's telling Mary, this is your son, but yet he's the Son of the Highest. This is your son, but yet he's the son that's going to inherit a kingdom that will never, ever end. Even our presidents. The President of the United States is likely the single most powerful person on the face of the globe from an earthly perspective. But we've seen many presidents come. They stay in the White House. They ride in Air Force One. They ride in the presidential limos. They have all the trappings of the office of presidency. They have all the power of the being the President of the United States, but there comes a time when they wave goodbye to the White House and they're no longer president anymore. But this angel's telling Mary, you're going to bear a son whose kingdom will never, ever end. What would Mary have been thinking about? There was a song written that was called "Mary, Did You Know?" And it lists a lot of things, wondered what Mary knew. She was clearly told she would bear the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. What all she knew and what all the details she knew, I don't know. That song asked, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?" The angel of the Lord would appear unto Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 and tell him one of the statements that we as old Baptists hold so dear. That fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So certainly she would know from some standpoint, not only would he be the Son of God, but he would save his people from their sins. Said, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She knew she had not physically consummated the act to bring forth children. And she said, how shall this be, since I've not known a man? She believes what the angel's saying. There's no doubt here in Mary's mind that what the angel's saying is true. She just doesn't know how. She's not questioning the word of God. You may say, Brother Mark, how do you know that? Well, early in this chapter, you'll see Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, that did question the word of God, and he was punished for it. Mary receives no rebuke here because Mary's not doubting the statement and the word of God. She's just saying, I don't know how. But she goes to the right place. She asks the angel of the Lord, who is there doing God's bidding, and said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? He's going to tell her how. You know, if we know something so but don't know how, a good place to ask is the Lord. That's a good place to go to. Lord, show me. How shall this be? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, shall literally envelop thee and consume around thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The angel gives her more information. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. He's going to be called the Son of God. His kingdom shall never end. He's going to be the king above all kings, because every other king, their kingdom came to an end, but not this king. This was one who, it would be told of the wise men when they came, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Most kings are born a prince. There's been a lot of news media about the recent royal birth, but most royal births, even if they're one day going to be king, they're not born a king, they're born a prince. But here's one that would be born king of the Jews. I want to go down a few verses, though, and look at some of what filled Mary's heart later in this same chapter. She goes and she visits her cousin Elizabeth, who's with child with John the Baptist. And we know that very familiar scene, that when Mary, who has Jesus in her womb, comes in the presence of Elizabeth, who has John the Baptist in her womb, that John the Baptist literally leaps for joy in his mother's womb. The angel had already told Zacharias that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. That's one of the precious scriptures. We know that somebody's born again, not by the preached word, not by the gospel, but somebody's born again directly by the power of God, by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit of God. Because here's John the Baptist that had never heard the gospel be preached by man, yet the Holy Ghost borned him again, right there in his mother's womb. So when he came in the presence of his Savior, he leaped for joy. There was joy in his heart, even though he was just an infant in the womb. A testimony to the very grace of Almighty God. Right after this happens, Mary breaks out in a recitation of praise and honor and glory unto God. Verse 46 said, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. We have magnifying glasses that can make something little look big. And a lot of times when we're doing firearms inventory or we're looking at serial numbers on something that's really small, even with my reading contacts and even if I put reading glasses on, I still can't see them. And I have to use a magnifying glass. But here's something Mary's magnifying. She's not making something big that was really small, but she's taking something that's very great and she's ascribing greatness unto it. She's recognizing it for what it is. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She said, I see the Lord big. He is big. And I'm ascribing bigness and greatness and glory and honor unto his great and holy name. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She felt something down deep. And I'm going to tell you, Mary's going to give such evidence here of being a born-again child of God. And she's going to give God all the glory for the blessings in her life. What an example of a mother to give God all the honor and all the glory, to see God as great and as wondrous and as big as we can see. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She said, I'm rejoicing in him. You know, Mary was very poor in this world's goods. When they go to do after the manner of law at the temple, they were too poor to afford the normal sacrifice. And they had to give the poor sacrifice. They didn't have much of this world's goods, but she recognized how tremendously blessed she had been and said, my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. You see, Mary recognized she needed a Savior. She wasn't holy and without sin, but she came in humility before the Lord as a guilty, bankrupt sinner and said, I need a Savior. I rejoice in God my Savior. We see one of the very unusual things, usual relationships between the Lord Jesus and his mother, for she was his mother, yet he was her Lord. She was his mother, yet he was her God. She was his mother, yet he was her Savior. When he died on the cross of Calvary, one of the elect family he'd be dying for would be his mother. She gives great evidence of being a born-again child of God, that heaven and immortal glory would be her sweet home one day. She said, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. Basically, Mary's saying, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. But he's regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. I'm nothing. I deserve nothing. But yet, look what he's done for me. You know, Mary gives us a good notion here of an appropriate view of ourselves. You know, the world will tell us all of man's problems is we just need to believe in ourselves more. We just need to love ourselves more. We just need to have more self-esteem and everything will be okay. That's not what the Word of God says. But I'm going to tell you, Mary's got a balanced approach here because she realizes in and of herself, she's nothing. But she also realizes something else, and both of these are important. You see, if we just view ourselves as we're nothing and less than nothing and we're guilty, bankrupt sinners, worthy of nothing, that's true. But we need to couple that with the fact that we are precious in his sight, that he loved us even before the foundation of the world, even before he ever said, let there be light, that he loved us, and we are precious in his sight. That's a healthy self-view. Without Christ, we're nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. But yet we realize that he loves us, and he loved us even before time began, and he'll never quit loving us. Mary has a good concept of both of those things. Said, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Because of something she did know. Because of what the Lord had done for her. What an example of a mother. You know, part of how we grow up as children. Children spend so much time with their mothers. You know what? If her mother is rejoicing in the Lord, and the mother is feeling blessed of the Lord and has a happy disposition and a joyous disposition, it makes the kids' lives very different. We've all heard the saying, y'all could fill in the blank, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's true. What a blessing. Here's a mother rejoicing in the Lord. She said, my spirit, not just on the outside, but something down deep inside of me as a born-again child of God, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Even though in this world's goods we're very poor, we're really rich. And I'll tell you, every child of God here this morning, no matter how much we have or don't have in this world's goods, we are rich in the Lord. And Mary realizes that, how blessed she is. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. From behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty. Did she see the Lord weak? Did she see the Lord wanting to save people, but they wouldn't let him? No, she sees the Lord mighty. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Now the Lord has done great things for us. But you know, as born again children of God, he's done great things to us. When we were born again, when he quickened us and made us alive from a death, from a state of death and trespasses and sins, and gave us life, he did something not only for us, he did that to us. He came to us personally, and we heard the life-giving voice of the Son of God who said, live, and we lived. He's done things for us, but praise God, he's done things to us. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. Look how personal this is to Mary. This isn't some nebulous relationship or fellowship with the Lord. She's taking it very personal. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord has done for us is very personal indeed. He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. She realized that both in her life and from generation to generation, all their lives, the Lord has been so merciful, not giving us punishments that we deserved. Aren't we thankful for the mercy of God? And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He sees not the mighty prince, the wicked one that may have all of this world's good but think he has need of nothing. They said the Lord's been so gracious to ones that come to him with a broken spirit. Say, Lord, I'm nothing, but you're everything. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. This isn't preaching against folks that are well off in this world's goods. A lot of very wealthy people have been very faithful children of God. Abraham was a very wealthy man, and the Lord blessed him with his wealth. What this scripture is getting against those that think they don't have need of anything, and certainly don't think they have need of God. He said, He hath filled the hungry with good things. I don't think that just means natural food. I think it means spiritual food. I'm thankful that the Lord blesses us with food on our tables and even food in our pantries. But I'm even more thankful for the manna He sends down from heaven as He feeds His little children. As we live on this earth, we desperately need it. Said, He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. He hath hoped or helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. He's our helper. He's a very, the psalmist would write, He's a very present help in trouble. He's always there when we need Him. I've had two specific prayers answered in the past few days, almost immediately. You know, the Lord can answer big prayers and He can answer little prayers. I was in the airport the other day. The line was so long, I thought I was going to miss my flight. And I said, Lord, please help me to be able to catch this flight. It wasn't 2 or 3 seconds later, a TSA law enforcement officer came up and said, look, there's another security checkpoint a few hundred yards down, and there's only 20 people at it. If you get over there, you're going to be able to make your way way quicker. That quick. The Lord's a present help. Sister Emily and them were driving late last night from a trip over in Arkansas, and I knew about the time they were to get home, and all of a sudden this morning I woke up with a startle, and I didn't know what time it was. I hadn't looked at the time yet, but I instantly panicked because they weren't there. And I said, Lord, help. And within maybe 1 or 2 seconds, my phone starts beeping. Because I've got a little tracker on my phone. I know where they are. And when they get home, it beeps. Because I was scared. For a moment, I was panicked. And I hear a beep, and there's a message, Emily's home, John Mark's home, Annalise's home. That's not a coincidence. The Lord answers our prayer. He has hope in Israel. He helps us. Mary realized that. You think that Mary had to really understand how much God helps us? Can you imagine having a baby and knowing that the king of the land wants to kill your child and will do everything he can to do it? Can you imagine being a newborn mother and dealing with that? Mary realized her help was in the Lord. May we all realize that. What an example of a godly mother, just a wonderful one of the elect family of God that she's given us. There were some criticisms. Well, let me discuss John chapter 2 first. We don't get a whole lot of glimpses into Mary's life. We see her in John chapter 2 where the Lord Jesus does His beginning of miracles at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. They've run out of wine. Mary's anxious for the Lord Jesus to do a great miracle. I believe that everybody would see and know that He's the Son of God. See, Mary's having the Lord Jesus and it being conceived in the Holy Ghost could bring up some questions from the scoffers of this world. John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus is speaking to some unbelieving Jews. The Bible doesn't leave us the gift. They're wicked Jews. You may say, Brother Mark, how do you know that? We can't judge a man's heart. No, we can't, but he did. He said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. So the Lord Jesus made the judgment. But in that conversation, they get angry with the Lord Jesus and said, we be not born of fornication. And the nuance is, they didn't say it, but they hinted it like you were. We be not born of fornication like you were. So you can see, likely, Mary wanting to clear her reputation. And here's the Lord Jesus. They've run out of wine, and I believe she was wanting him to do a great miracle that everybody could see, and her name would be clear. And I don't blame her. But the Lord Jesus not only had to do the right things, he had to do the right things at the right time. He tells her, he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus was not being disrespectful to his mother. He was not being ugly to his mother. But he was basically saying, it's not time yet. Not time yet. You know, a lot of times I could do something good, but if I do it at the wrong time, it's wrong. It's good for me to encourage U.S. probation officers in their job. It's good for me to encourage them to keep the community safe and to encourage them for the good job they do and the hard work they do to help keep the Southern District of Mississippi a safer place. And that's a good thing for me to do. And it's something I need to do frequently. But it'd be very wrong for me to do that on Sunday morning when I'm supposed to be preaching the gospel. Good thing to do, but if I do it at the wrong time, it becomes a wrong thing to do at that time. The Lord Jesus goes ahead and works a great miracle. But he didn't really do it in the way that Mary probably wanted him to do it, in a where everybody would know the great miracle. But you know who knew about that miracle that day? The servants knew. The servants that fetched the water that the Lord Jesus turned into wine, they knew. You know, there's a lesson in that, that there's a lot of precious things about the Lord Jesus Christ that the world in general doesn't know. But you, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been blessed enough. And they got to see the miracle on that occasion. I want us to go back to Luke 1, though, and see something that was Mary was told before we again go later in the gospel accounts. I love this account. And I'm going to read some of this just to give a context with really not commenting on it till I get to what I want. In Luke chapter 1 in verse 25, it says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout and waiting for the consolation, for the comforting of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, imagine, here's Simeon, who knows and realizes that the child he has in his hands is the promised Messiah, is the one that would comfort, is the one that would redeem, is the one that would console Israel, and he's blessed to hold him up in his hands. What a time that must have been for Simeon. Took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. What a joyous time that must have been for Simeon, but think about it from Mary and Joseph's perspective. See, Simeon's going to say something else to her. Said, and Joseph and Mary, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. There's numerous times in the gospel accounts where it said Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It said right after the shepherds came, who had gotten that angelic message from that angelic host that the Son of God would be born. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And all those shepherds show up knowing and understanding that the Messiah had come, the Christ child had come, the one that would bring peace on earth, goodwill to men. The Bible said Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It'll later say she kept these sayings in her heart. She thought about them. She pondered them. I believe she sought God about them, wondering what all these things meant. But he said, a sword shall pierce through thine own heart also. Toward the end of the book of John, we see Mary at the scene of the crucifixion of her son. A lot of the disciples had forsaken him and fled away. The Bible said all of them did. But John had come back. He's at the scene of the cross. You know, Isaiah 52 says the Lord Jesus, his visage was marred more than any man. Means of all the people that's ever been beaten and persecuted and mutilated, that the Lord Jesus was marred more than them. I've often wondered how even wicked men, at the scene of what all the Lord Jesus endured, the crown of thorns upon his hand, the nails in his hands and his feet, the whip upon his back, literally ripping flesh off, the mockery, making fun of him. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the Christ, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe him. To put him in the purple robe and mock him and hit him with a scepter and say, here's your scepter, and hit him in the head and say, prophesy unto us, who smote thee? You would have thought it would have welled up, even in a wicked man, just a little bit of compassion. But can you imagine being the Lord's mother, watching that? How hard it must have been. The Lord Jesus looks down from the cross in that agony and all that he was enduring. Not only the physical agony, but drinking the cup of the wrath of Almighty God for all the elect family of God, including his mother, paying for her sins. He looks at John. Says, John, behold thy mother. Looks at his mother and says, behold thy son. Even in that agony, even in the brutality that he had suffered, he still thought about the welfare of his mother. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother that thy days may be long upon the earth. Certainly the Lord set a wonderful example for that there on the cross of Calvary, dying for his mother and all the elect family of God. But you know, one day Jesus is coming again. The Bible doesn't give clear directives about if Mary was right there at all the scene of the resurrection. It doesn't give clear instructions if Mary was right there when Jesus ascended up into heaven. And we're not left to know a lot of the details. But I'll tell you what, when Jesus comes again, Mary will be there. As one of the elect of God. You know, a mother begins to love her child very early. You know, the world may argue about when life begins, but the Bible's very clear. It begins at conception. That's why the Lord would born again one of his little children, John the Baptist, even in his womb. The world would have said, he's not a baby yet, but God loved him and born him again right there. That's proof. Mothers love their children a long time. My niece just had a baby. We've had two ladies in our office, one that just had twins and one that just gave birth within the last few days. Sister Sarah here has recently given birth. Those mothers develop a lot of love when that baby's in their womb, loving them and talking to them and maybe singing to them. Mary had been loving Jesus for a long time. I believe she began to love him when she first heard the salutation of the angel. And he said, the Holy Ghost will come upon thee. You'll conceive of the Holy Ghost. I believe she began loving that little baby then. But you know, the Lord had been loving her a lot longer than that. She likely began loving him at the salutation of the angel when he was conceived in her womb. But the Lord had been loving her since time began. Before he said, let there be light, before he made the first blade of grass, before he created the first mountain or the sun or the moon or the stars, he loved her. And he loved you. One sweet day, he's coming back. We'll all be together. All the family of God, including Mary, and every one of us, and every born-again child of God that has ever lived from the beginning of the world to the very end, Jesus will come again and gather us all together. He'll take us home, body, soul, and spirit, in perfect and complete and holy and righteous bodies without any cancer. Without any kind of sickness, without any kind of sorrow, with not any even hint of death. And he'll go up and we'll have a triumphal entry with our King Jesus, the captain of our salvation. We'll enter into heaven with him in heaven and immortal glory. The Bible said we'll meet him in the clouds. Then we'll forever be with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, Psalms tells us, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. I believe that's the divine decree to open up the very doors of heaven because Jesus, our triumphant Savior, is coming into heaven. Said, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now I'm going to tell you, after we meet the Lord's in the air, he's going to transport us into heaven and immortal glory itself. And Mary, his mother, and all the elect family of God, we will be having the most wonderful victory march into heaven that could ever be imagined. Because of what we did? No, because of what King Jesus did. The cross of Calvary. Bible said when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Because of what he did, he'll lead us all into heaven and immortal glory without the loss of one. And then here's all the elect family of God, including Mary, his mother. King Jesus will look to the Father and say, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. Yes, Mary was his mother. He was her Savior. Mary was his mother, but he was her warrior, the captain of her salvation. Mary was his mother, but he was Mary's Lord. And he secured for us the blessings of being a child of God. You know, our experience in some ways is very different than Mary's. But I'm going to tell you from the standpoint that she's a child of God, it's very similar. May we have the praise in our heart. Mary did. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, and rejoice in these truths. That one sweet day, heaven and immortal glory will be our home, and we'll go into that triumphal, victorious entry into heaven and immortal glory with our Savior, the captain of our salvation, King Jesus. What a day that will be. May God richly bless you, my friend.